松江区2022学年度第二学期模拟考质量监控试卷高三英语听力部分现在开始。
Section A, Directions. In Section A, you will hear 10 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. The conversations and the questions will be spoken only once.After you hear a conversation and a question about it, read the four possible answers on your paper and decide which one is the best answer to the question you have heard.
1. Simon, you'd better go to the museum tomorrow if you want to see the exhibit.
Yeah, I don't want to miss it again.
Question. What can be learned about the man?
2. What do you think I should name this cat I found?
If I were you, I'd find it a new home. You know, the dormitory rules.
Question. What does the woman suggest the man do?
3. Are you worried about getting the job after graduation?
No, not a bit. I've got several certificates on computing and teaching.And I've had several good interviews.
Question. How does the man feel about getting a job?
4. Have you called the stores to make sure they're open on Sundays?
No, I haven't, but that's a good idea. There is nothing worse than driving all the way into the town and finding everything closed.
Question. What does the woman imply?
5. The clinic was so crowded with people that it took me almost 3 hours to get in.
Yeah, the clinic is always busy this time of year.
Question. What can be learnt from the conversation?
6. Lily, don't forget to bring your sunglasses and some blocking cream.
Okay, make sure you bring the towels and the lemon juice.
Question.Where are they probably going?
7. I'm so glad you're able to come to our housewarming celebration.
You really have a lovely place. Would you show me around?
Question. What does the man want?
8. I can't get my computer printer to work.
How can that be? Is it plugged in?
Question. What does the woman mean?
9. The report should be handed in on Monday. I'm such a terrible typist that I may never finish it.
Would you like me to take over for a while?
Question. What does the man offer to do?
10. I'm looking for tissues, but I didn't see any under paper products.
We're moving some things around. Tissues are now in Section 8.
Question. Why can't the man find tissues now?
6. Directions. In Section B, you'll hear 2 passages and 1 longer conversation.After each passage or conversation, you will be asked several questions. The passages in a conversation will be read twice, but the questions will be spoken only once. When you hear a question, read the 4 possible answers on your paper and decide which one is the best answer to the question you have heard.
Questions 11 through 13 are based on the following passage.At weddings in many parts of the world, brides and grooms give each other wedding rings. These rings remind them of the commitment they made to each other when they got married. They are also a sign to others that they are married. No one knows for sure how this tradition started, but there is evidence that it began long ago in ancient Egypt. coins at the time had the hole in the center. An Egyptian groom used to place a coin on his bride's finger to show that he would support and take care of her. In many ancient cultures, including Egypt, the circle is a symbol of endlessness. The wedding ring has come to symbolize endless love and commitment. Wedding rings have almost always been on the fourth finger, for the ancient Egyptians believed the tube where blood flows went directly to the heart. But a hand is worn on depends on where people live. In some cultures, people wear their rings on their left hand, while in the others, they wear them on the right. How the wedding ring fits is important. Some people think that the perfect fit of the rings represents a perfect fit between the couple. A tight ring can indicate envy, and a loose ring can show carelessness. Now, listen again, please.
At weddings in many parts of the world, brides and grooms give each other wedding rings. These rings remind them of the commitment they made to each other when they got married. They are also a sign to others that they are married. No one knows for sure how this tradition started, but there is evidence that it began long ago in ancient Egypt. Coins at that time had a hole in the center. An Egyptian groom used to place a coin on his bride's finger to show that he would support and take care of her. In many ancient cultures, including Egypt, the circle is a symbol of endlessness. The wedding ring has come to symbolize endless love and commitment. Wedding rings have almost always been on the fourth finger, for the ancient Egyptians believed the tube where blood flows went directly to the heart, but the hand it's worn on depends on where people live. In some cultures, people wear their rings on the left hand, while in others, they wear them on the right. How the wedding ring fits is important. Some people think that the perfect fit of the rings represents a perfect fit between the couple. A tight ring can indicate envy, and a loose ring can show carelessness.
Questions 11. What did ancient Egyptian grooms give their brides?
Which of the following about a wedding ring varies from culture to culture?
What is the passage mainly about?
14 through 16 are based on the following passage. Amelia Earhart was the first woman to make a flight on her own across the Atlantic Ocean and the first person to fly 2,400 miles across the Pacific. She set countless records in her day. At the age of 39, she attempted an around-the-world flight, but mysteriously disappeared in the South Pacific during the journey. No trace of Amelia or her plane was ever found. As a young child, she fearlessly raced down icy slopes. Amelia and this new and dangerous sport of flying were to be a natural combination. Since her new interest was expansive, Amelia suspended studies at Columbia Medical School at age 23 and began working. With the money she earned, she bought a plane and actively pursued her interest in flying. Nothing could keep Amelia away from her true passion, the wide blue skies. Amelia began spending a lot of time in the air. She was one of the few females who firmly believed that a woman was capable of doing anything that a man could do. Her adventures in the air confirmed this. Most women of her generation were frightened of those flying machines, and many refused to let their husbands travel by air. However, Amelia saw beforehand the great potential for mass air travel. Her feelings are best expressed in a letter to be opened in case of death. She wrote, Happy for the last grand adventure. I wish I had won, but it was worthwhile anyway. The details surrounding Amelia's fortune are uncertain, but one thing is definite. Her flying exploits were essential to the development of flight as we know it today.
Now, listen again, please. Amelia Earhart was the first woman to make a flight on her own across the Atlantic Ocean, and the first person to fly 2,400 miles across the Pacific. She set countless records in her day. At the age of 39, she attempted an around-the-world flight, but mysteriously disappeared in the South Pacific during the journey. No trace of Amelia or her plane was ever found. As a young child, she fearlessly raced down icy slopes. Amelia and this new and dangerous sport of flying were to be a natural combination. Since her new interest was expansive, Amelia suspended studies at Columbia Medical School at age 23 and began working. With the money she earned, she bought a plane and actively pursued her interest in flying. Nothing could keep Amelia away from her true passion, the wide blue skies. Amelia began spending a lot of time in the air. She was one of the few females who firmly believed that a woman was capable of doing anything that a man could do. Her adventures in the air confirmed this. Most women of her generation were frightened of those flying machines, and many refused to let their husbands travel by air. However, Amelia saw beforehand the great potential for mass air travel. Her feelings are best expressed in a letter to be opened in case of death. She wrote, "Happy for the last grand adventure. I wish I had won, but it was worthwhile anyway." The details surrounding Amelia's fortune are uncertain, but one thing is definite. Her flying exploits were essential to the development of flight as we know it today.
Questions 14. What can be learned about Amelia?
How did Amelia feel about her flight?
16. What is this story mainly about? 17 through 20 are based on the following conversation. Mrs. Wingfield, thank you very much for allowing me to visit your wonderful garden. It really helps me a lot to write an article about you for our paper. You know, your Dorset Gardens is a must-see for visitors to our town. Now, I wonder if I could ask you a few questions.
Yes, sure.
Could you tell me when you became interested in gardening?
Well, I was always interested in white flowers. And in 1980, I read Margaret Fisher's book, College Garden Flowers, which was full of practical advice and personal opinions. But I was reading about plants that I didn't know, so I started to read as much as I could and got different writers' advice.
Yes, others' advice always gives us new angles of seeing things. And do you like visiting gardens?
I used to visit Kew Gardens a lot. That was when we lived in West London. I learned a lot from my visits. By the way, Dorset is one of England's two most beautiful towns, the other one being Somerset. You must know that. I'm often invited to give talks to biology students in colleges.
Yes, certainly. That's why I came here. Now, what was your first garden like?
It was a very tiny piece of land, which came with my house in West London.
Do you grow many plants yourself?
I don't grow many plants from seeds, but I have several friends, and we often give each other plants. My garden is a place which often reminds me of so many people through the plants they've given me.
No wonder visitors say they can sense sweetness in the garden. Thank you so much for sharing.
It's really nice to have talked with you. Now, listen again, please.
Mrs. Wingfield, thank you very much for allowing me to visit your wonderful garden. It really helps me a lot to write an article about you for our paper. You know, your Dorset Gardens is a must-see for visitors to our town. Now, I wonder if I could ask you a few questions.
Yes, sure.
Could you tell me when you became interested in gardening?
Well, I was always interested in white flowers. And in 1980, I read Margaret Fisher's book, College Garden Flowers, which was full of practical advice and personal opinions. But I was reading about plants that I didn't know. So I started to read as much as I could and got different writers' advice.
Yes, others' advice always gives us new angles of seeing things. And do you like visiting gardens?
I used to visit Kew Gardens a lot. That was when we lived in West London. I learned a lot from my visits. By the way, Dorset is one of England's two most beautiful towns, the other one being Somerset. You must know that. I'm often invited to give talks to biology students in colleges.
Yes, certainly. That's why I came here. Now, what was your first garden like?
It was a very tiny piece of land, which came with my house in West London.
Do you grow many plants yourself?
I don't grow many plants from seeds, but I have several friends, and we often give each other plants. My garden is a place which often reminds me of so many people through the plants they've given me.
No wonder visitors say they can sense sweetness in the garden. Thank you so much for sharing.
It's really nice to have talked with you. Questions 17. What is the main purpose of the interview?
How did women get valuable advice in gardening?
What can we learn about the woman's first garden?
20. Why does the garden remind women of many people? 21. That's the end of listening comprehension.